Go back to chapter 7 now. Let's look at that fourth empire. Though it's not named as the Roman Empire, it's talked about. Look at verse 21 of chapter 7. I beheld, and the same horn made war with the saints and prevailed against it, until the Ancient of Days came and the judgment was given to the saints of the Most High, and the time came and the saints possessed the kingdom. Talking about what's going to happen at the end when Jesus Christ comes. And the saints possess the kingdom. The Jews possess the kingdom. Verse 23. Thus he said, the fourth beast shall be the fourth kingdom upon the earth, which shall be diverse from all kingdoms, and shall devour the whole earth, and shall tread it down and break it in pieces. That's exactly what the Roman Empire did. When it came into existence, it established an infrastructure across this world unbelievable. It had a military might. It had a common currency. You know what the common currency was? The denarius, which was basically a penny, a day's wages. The denarius, that was common currency in the Roman Empire. It had a political stability. It controlled everything. It was massive. And then it was divided into two parts. In 323, Constantine went into Milano, Italy, there proclaimed the world to be Christian, and left the Roman Empire, headquartered in the city of Rome, the western section, and moves into what we know today as Istanbul, named it, egomaniac as he was, Constantinople. And there established the eastern division of the Roman Empire, the Greek Orthodox, the Orthodox community. Been to Constantinople or Istanbul? It's still there, prevalent, what Constantine did back then. The two legs of iron, eastern, western division of the Roman Empire. It came into existence. But then he talks about 10 horns coming out. 10 horns. Well, let's see what the interpretation of. Gabriel's giving the interpretation to Daniel. Verse 24. And the 10 horns out of this kingdom are 10 kings that shall arise, and another shall arise after them. Now the other that shall arise after, the little horn of chapter 7, verse 8, is, I'm going to tell you in advance, the Antichrist. We'll develop that tomorrow. I believe the Antichrist is alive and well on planet Earth. I have an idea as to who the Antichrist is. Hope you can be here tomorrow. I'll tell you what the Bible has to say about it. If you have to go away, make sure you buy the tapes. All right, Roger, did I do good? The 10 horns that come into existence. Let's just stop with the 10 horns. There are going to be 10 kings that shall arise, and another shall arise after it. 10 kings that shall come into existence. The Roman Empire never had 10 divisions. It was divided in two divisions, 323 AD. Never 10 divisions. 10 horns becoming 10 kings or 10 kingdoms. When you have a king, you have a kingdom. You can't have a kingdom without a king, a king without a kingdom. And so that's what it's talking about, 10 units of something, nations or kingdoms or whatever. What about the Roman Empire? Well, the Roman Empire came into existence approximately 146 BC. It existed till the 14th century, at least one division of it. The Western division probably falling in 426 AD. From that time on, though, continually there was an effort to keep the Roman Empire in existence. In the late 700s, Charlemagne came to power. On Christmas Day, 800 AD, the Pope named Charlemagne the Emperor of Rome. Along comes Otto I from Germany. He establishes 962 AD, the Holy Roman Empire. It lasts until 1806. In 1806, Napoleon, the little French military might, comes to power, brings down the Holy Roman Empire that had been in existence since the 10th century all the way to 1806. Napoleon goes into Rome. all of these men, egomaniacs, realizing the significance of Rome, proclaims himself the emperor of Rome. And then along comes Bismarck, the German iron ruler. Wilhelm I comes up. He names him Kaiser because he establishes the Second Reich, or the Second Empire. The Third Reich, you know, Hitler established. The Second Reich. Kaiser, by the way, is the German word for Caesar. My daddy was so mean growing up, they nicknamed him Kaiser. I'm not like him. I'm like my mother. Good looking and sweet and humble. And anyway, you probably believe other lies too. So here it is. Along comes World War I. Between World War I and World War II, Winston Churchill says there must be a United States of Europe. He writes even an article in the Saturday Evening Post back then about the United States of Europe, a desire to have a confederation of states in what was the Roman Empire. 1921, Mussolini comes to power in Italy. He captures, takes control of the city of Rome. On one of the seven hills of the city of Rome, he proclaims himself as the ruler of the Roman Empire. And in 1936, he captured Ethiopia. And Adolf Hitler made a statement. Mussolini has established the revived Roman Empire. Not quite so. But on March the 25th, 1957, leaders of six European countries meet on the hills of Rome, seven-hilled city. Revelation chapter 17. There they established the European community, the European economic community, the common market. That has progressed over the years. Today there are 15 members of the EU, the European Union. 15 members. They're trying to gel the United States of Europe. What are they going to be able to do? Well, first of all, they need an economic system in place. This last January, the euro dollar became currency for Europe. And by January 1st, 2001, that economic system will be totally in place. They need a political structure for the revived Roman Empire. Did you read 3 weeks ago? The European Parliament, headquartered in Brussels, Belgium, had an election. That political structure is in place. Economic system, political structure. You need a military operation. Bill Clinton told the general in charge of NATO, "You've always been for 50 years a defensive organization, never taking the aggressive, offensive approach. But I want that to change. I want you to go to Kosovo and run Serbia out of there." And all of a sudden, a military operation was formed in the European community.